Thanks, Rich. Sorry if I sound a little bit blocked up, and because I am actually a bit blocked up. I've been interviewing what feels like for 3 weeks solid at work. I've probably done about 30 interviews for new staff over the course of the last three weeks, and it's taken it's a bit of a toll on my voice. So and actually I can't hear out of one of my ears properly. It keeps coming and going. But anyway, I'm sure we'll be fine. Now, Rich said at the beginning this is part two, which I had always envisaged that part two was going to be living with Jesus. But in fact it's not, because it's Valentine's Day today. I think we need to have a look at what it means to be loving like Jesus. So I thought that was a bit apt, and I thought, well, we could shake things up a bit. So here we go. As I said in my last talk, and we didn't go into it when I went through those 7 or 8 points of what it means to live like Jesus, I said that loving like Jesus isn't without its challenges, but it shouldn't also be overcomplicated. And it is really very simple, but I think we overcomplicate it. And as a reminder, I read a quote from Danielle Strickland, and she said that we overcomplicate the things we don't want to do and professionalize being a good neighbor, which I just think was a really interesting quote. And Bob Goff, in his devotional, Living Grace, Walking Love, he describes his walk of faith as really uncomplicated and simple. He knows he met Jesus. Jesus changed his life and invited him to do life with him. And he talks about how after many years of walking with Jesus, that we don't need to have all of the answers to all of the theological questions that are out there. And he concludes that loving people the way Jesus did is always a great theology. And again, as I said last time, the Gospels really do provide us with that blueprint on how to do it. And again, I'll be largely referring to John because that's my Gospel of choice at the moment. And as we walk through this, I think I've made some, three observations that I hope will just help us in our journey of what it means to love like Jesus. So these are my observations. They're not based on any deep-rooted theology, but as I've been reading and just immersing myself in the Gospel of John, these are things that I've seen, and hopefully you'll be able to, again, to just to see something new that you perhaps haven't seen before. So number one, firstly, I think Jesus was able to love in the way that he loved because he knew he was loved. He knew he was loved by his father, by Mary and Joseph, and by his close friends. And I think this is really important for us to take on board. We need to know that we are loved so that we could show love in the way that he did. In John 15 and verses 9 to 10, and this is the Passion Translation, it says, "I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love." Secondly, I think that in addition to him knowing that he was loved, he was able to receive love. And we see this when he allowed Mary to anoint his feet. And that's in John 12 and verses 1 to 3. It says, "6 days before the Passover began, Jesus went back to Bethany, the town where he raised Lazarus from the dead. They had prepared supper for Jesus. Martha served, and Lazarus and Mary were amongst those sitting at the table. Mary picked up an alabaster jar filled with nearly a liter of extremely rare and costly perfume, the purest extract of nard, and she anointed Jesus's feet. Then she wiped them dry with her long hair, and the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house. But Judas the locksmith, Simon's son, the betrayer, spoke up and said, 'What a waste. We could have sold some of this perfume for a fortune and given money to the poor.'" And I think it was just really interesting to see that Jesus let Mary do this, and just the reaction that it had amongst those sitting around is that he let her love him in this very, I suppose, slightly, I suppose, intimate way, but also in a slightly costly way. And I think as I've sort of reflected on this, it is really hard to fully capture that we need to love how he loved us, because some of us might have had difficult experiences in our life where perhaps we haven't experienced love in a positive way, whether that's been in relationships with either a husband or a wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, within a family context. I think sometimes we could struggle with this idea that we are fully and truly loved, and it's quite difficult when we come to Christ to fully appreciate and understand that he loves us and that we need to love in the very same way that he loved us. And in 1 John 4 verse 19, it says, our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. I think that verse, you know, when it asks us to love our neighbour as ourselves, comes out of this place, because otherwise, why would that as yourself be included if we weren't to act on it and do something about it? And I think, yeah, we can only love others if we truly know that we are loved. And again, I think we can learn a lot from the writer of the Gospel of John, in that he describes himself, doesn't he, in John 21, as the disciple who loved Jesus. And for me, this isn't about him indicating that he was any more loved or any more special than anybody else, but rather that he absolutely knew deep down inside that Jesus loved him. And we need to be able to describe ourselves in this manner. And at the core of our identity, we need to be able to declare, I am the disciple who Jesus loves. Really important. Number two, Jesus showed his love in really extraordinary and unusual ways. And we see that a number of times in the Gospels. One of the important things for us to recognise is that he really did love beyond barriers and cultural norms, and he went to people. He didn't necessarily wait for people to come to him. He was in and amongst people a lot of the time. Firstly, I think we can see that he showed his love to the disciples, and we see that when he washed their feet. In John 13 and verse 1, it says, Jesus knew that the night before the Passover would be his last night on earth before leaving the world to return to the Father's side. All throughout his time with his disciples, Jesus had demonstrated a deep and tender love for them. And now he longed to show them the full measure of his love. And he did that by washing their feet. And there was, I think it was Peter, wasn't it? That interesting reaction was that he almost couldn't receive that from Jesus. But Jesus really wanted to show his disciples how loved they were. And he did it in this very humble and very deep and meaningful way. Now, Henry Nouwen, who some of you may have come across or read quotes or some of his books, he's a Dutch Catholic priest and professor. He said this. He said, we cannot love issues, but we can love people. And the love of people reveals to us the way to deal with those issues. And actually, it was this quote that really set me off on this journey about looking into how to love like Jesus. Because the danger is, of course, with the way we walk and the way we deal with people, is that we can come across as judgy of their situations because perhaps they don't line up with our own way of living or our own lifestyle choices. But I think this really sums up how we need to be and how we need to not love those issues that people come with, but also we just need to see through that. And if we love people in that way, then we'll work out the way to deal with those issues. And we just need to discern that is how the way to do it. One of the things I think really is important, and again, I think through the home, the shelter and all of those other initiatives that we are involved in, is that loving like Jesus requires us to make friends with those whose lives look different to ours. You know, Jesus ate with the tax collectors and the sinners and spent a whole lot of his life saying yes, you are welcome, to those who thought they weren't. And we need to go to those places where we wouldn't normally go. We need to respond to the issues and concerns of the modern world righteously and without judging behaviour that is contrary to living life centred in Jesus. And I suppose, yeah, for those of us that have just come off of doing the homeless shelter stuff, we have gone to a place where we wouldn't normally go. We have sat at tables with people whose lives look very different from our own. And that really is, you know, showing very practically what it is to love like Jesus. And one of my favourite stories in the Gospels, and where I think we just can see this in just all its glory, is Jesus's encounter with the woman at the well. And that's in John 4. And we see him address all of these things, really, about going where no one else would go, sitting with people whose lives looked very different, in that that encounter happened at the hottest, most uncomfortable part of the day. We know that the woman went to gather water during that time because she was a bit of an outcast in her society, was probably, and that was the only time really she could go and get the water because she wanted to avoid people. Now, he went out of his way, I think, I'd like to think, to encounter her. And that was the hottest, most uncomfortable part of the day. And the fact that he engaged not only with a woman, but a Samaritan woman is really important, given that men didn't mix with women in this way, and Jews certainly didn't mix with Samaritans. He crossed all of the cultural barriers and broke all of the religious people's rules just in going and encountering and spending time with this woman. What we see very much in this account is that he listened to her. He didn't judge her or have an opinion on her lifestyle. He spoke truth over her life without being over spiritual or theological. He spoke to her on her level. And yes, I think he did cut to the chase of what was going on in her world. He called it out, didn't he? He said, yeah, you've had five husbands. But I think what he was really getting to the bottom of was where her heart was, and the fact that she wanted to put all of this behind her and live a different life. What a lesson in loving very simply and loving really well. So I think in what I thought after reading this, I think we need to all be asking ourselves that question that again is spoken. I think it's in the story of the Good Samaritan. Like, who is my neighbour? We need to continually ask that question and discern before God who at this moment in time is my neighbour. Is it my immediate next door neighbour? Is it that person that I see in the park? Is it somebody else in a completely different context that we're reaching out to? For us that are baking cakes into the hospital, they are our neighbours and we are serving them with great love. And of course, we can't neglect when looking at what it is to love like Jesus without taking a moment just to reflect on the ultimate cost and demonstration of his love seen through him dying on the cross for us. In John 15 and verse 13, it says, "For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his love for his friends." And I just think, as I've been on this kind of journey through the Gospel of John in my own studies, when thinking about all of the three talks that I've done, it's really clear that living a life that is reflective of his does require cost, effort and sacrifice at all levels. That's just how it is. And I think we need to be just continually prepared if we want to live and have the desire to live in this way, to live a life that is full of constant interruptions. Number three, loving like Jesus can be very tricky and cause controversy. It's not straightforward. We will be misunderstood and not always received well. And we need to be prepared for that rejection and not be too surprised when it comes. I'm always really surprised in my Christian walk from the places it does come from, because it can come from the most unexpected of places and hit you at a time where you think, oh gosh, I wasn't expecting that. But we do read, don't we, in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, that and this is talking about Jesus, and this is the ESV version. It says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one who from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not." The Message puts it like this. It says, "He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him and thought he was scum." As true disciples of Jesus, we can expect persecution, and we're warned of this in John 15, verses 18 to 19. It says, "Just remember, when the believing world hates you, they first hated me. If you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love you and welcome you as one of their own. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. But I have chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine." And I really think this again comes back to that point of really knowing that we are loved by him truly, and that we are comfortable with who we are in ourselves, that we are comfortable we're in our own skin, and we really understand whose we are. And I think as we understand some of those things, it will become easier because we'll have that inner resilience and strength to be able to deal with objections and rejections in a way that just reflects Jesus and keeps us going. So in conclusion, where have I kind of heading with this? I suppose this whole idea of loving like Jesus really just made me ask, well, what does it mean for us as the church to love in this way? And John Tyson, who's somebody I've quoted a couple of times, says the church at its best gives people a tangible encounter of what it feels like to be loved by Jesus. And in John 13 and verse 34 and 35 in the Passion Translation, again, it says, so I give you a new commandment, love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. You will be known by your love. I thought it was really interesting this week, and for most of us that hooked into the Evangelical Alliance conference, that Gavin Calver, he described the church needing to be a number of things so for us to be effective and head off into this next stage of the journey. He talked about us needing to be compassionate people who weep over our broken cities and communities. He talked about us being a righteous people who call out things that are wrong in a really non-judgmental way. And he also called us to live brave lives full of courage and full of kindness. And that really, for me, feels like loving Jesus and loving like Jesus. And we're required to be all of these things in these days as we reach out where we are, go to places where we've never been before, and move forward with our lives in what I'm hoping very soon will be, we can call, a post-pandemic world. Amen.